I'm Katie Puckrick, broadcaster, writer, and performer, with a guilty secret. I love karaoke.
The most joyful karaoke experience is where you can really just celebrate the things you love.
All of these guys are having the best night they can possibly imagine.
I have always loved karaoke. Obviously, nothing to boast about in the UK or anywhere else, but I have heard of a place where karaoke is cool, and that place is Portland, Oregon.
I had no idea when I first came to Portland that there was this karaoke scene that was actually cool to belong to.
And no matter what that night is for you,
it's an addiction. This is the one thing where you don't just get to go see a show, you get to be the show.
And some have claimed that karaoke in Portland has become a new art form. So I am keen as an eager beaver to find out and see if I can become a part of it.
What I love about karaoke, it has much to do with finding a great environment to sing songs that you love with people who mean something to you, and either enjoying or enduring the performances of the other people who are there with you.
Dan Coyce is a journalist, editor, podcaster, and most importantly to me, an avid karaoke singer. He went to Portland to check things out for himself after tips from various friends there.
Portland has, first of all, just a tremendous number of karaoke bars, like far more than any place else that I've ever lived. And there are a number of reasons for that. I mean, one is there's an enormous Japanese influence in Portland culture, and there has been for many, many years. Portland is also a city that has a real DIY, do-it-yourself ethos. Far more important than your job is your hobby, the thing you do simply because you love it.
My first impression of Portland is that it's very pretty, old-timey Americana. There's a pretty river running through it, lots of lush greenery. But I need to get under the surface, really find out where this karaoke scene is happening. And according to Dan Coyce, the man I need to meet is karaoke jockey, that's KJ Supremo, John Brophy.
I mean, he spends most of his daytime making tracks. And so every week, usually through some combination of buying tracks from karaoke houses and then remixing them or fiddling with them in some way to make them better, he is part of a worldwide karaoke jock collective that includes KJs in New Zealand and England who all make tracks and they trade with each other. And then he also just records some from scratch in his home studio. His version of Transmission by Joy Division is actually quite great, and he spent an entire afternoon getting the bass right on that track.
So we've just pulled up into a very cute little neighborhood, and there's a friendly face beaming at me. I presume you're John Brophy?
Yes, I am.
John runs a club called Baby Kitten Karaoke, which has become legendary in Portland. You're the man who kind of saw that there was a potential for more than just the cheesy, average, hen night, bachelorette bash type of karaoke. What is it that you do?
I focus on trying to have tracks that don't exist in the karaoke world. Maybe stuff that you've always wanted to sing, or like your favorite band that is not top 40. And pretty much everyone in the room will take whatever you give them. And they're pretty open to it. So it's a different environment altogether. A lot of the people that come are musicians, like professional singers. I also try to make it as loud and as the same dynamic as a show.
No, he's totally debutting a brand new Baby Kitten Karaoke original song that just came out today. You can dance to this, I'm pretty sure. Here you go.
What's the kind of material that you bring to the Baby Kitten nights?
Well, first of all, some of the tried and true favorites, just in an effort to make the night different, I don't have them. I deleted like the top 100 sung songs at karaoke, so you won't hear Four Non Blondes, What's Up, or Don't Stop Believin', or, you know. But the stuff I bring would be deeper Cure and Depeche Mode cuts, or like some underground like punk or dance or hip hop, Morrissey. I like stuff with energy, you know, that gets people going. So dance music is great as well. Basically anything people ask for that I think should be made. It's about time it's been made.
And are you a musician in real life, or
yes.
is that what you...
Yeah. For a while, the band thing was kind of my primary focus, and karaoke would be what we did after the shows. We'd do like a basement show or something like that, and everyone would look at each other, now what? I'd plug in, you know, my computer, and we'd start singing karaoke. And somewhere down the road, karaoke took forefront, band kind of went to the back, and then anything I learned from recording and playing and doing sound live kind of worked itself into the karaoke part, and that became its own monster.
Before John turned to KJing, Portland had what any other city offers: drunken bachelor and hen night parties, the last thing on a way home, people singing along to Ring of Fire, Living on a Prayer, We Are Family. But John has opened up something a little bit unusual.
I wanted people to feel like they could go sing a John Denver ballad or a Misfits, you know, Kill Your Parents song, whatever the heck they wanted to, without feeling judged. People will come up and ask, you know, I want to put up this song. Is it a good idea? Like, people will hate it. I'm like, who cares? Are you excited about that song? Do you like it? Yeah. Well, then do it. But, like, get into it. You know, have a good time.
People really know how to have a good time here, and they like to do it for themselves, and they like to encourage others to do the same. I talked to Jonathan Owicki, working in renewable energy outreach by day, karaoke fan and puppeteer by night. What is it about Portland and karaoke? Why do those two things seem to go hand in hand?
Portlanders love taking an active, creative role in their own entertainment and their own, how they live their lives. And I think that karaoke is a perfect example of that. It gives people a chance to not just sit back and watch music, but to actively participate in it. It's also, you know, non-professional. It's more about the experience than it is about the final product. You can get up there and do a terrible job, and people will still applaud because you're a person doing that and enjoying it.
Well, I want to be that person getting up and grabbing the applause. I'm kind of hoping John might just have the track for me to sing at one of the clubs we're going to visit. Back at his home, he introduces me to his own DIY approach to karaoke.
Xylophones and accordions, etc. Shakers,
yeah.
Tambourines.
Drum kit.
Auto harp, drum kit.
So you have a whole Rick Wakeman-esque phalanx of keyboards, both actual musical keyboards and computer keyboards, and you've got a couple screens here. What are you working on right now?
I am remastering and just doing re-leveling Postal Service, Such Great Heights. I noticed there were some things I wanted to touch up on it, and so I'm just going back and redoing that.
And that's such a pretty song. So what's the process when you're putting that together?
So there's a male and female backing vocal on here, and this is the one I recorded. They will see us waiting from such great heights, come down now. Do you want to hear the whole mix?
Yeah, I'd love to, yeah. What's Portland famous for? Well, as I'm finding out, rain, hipsters, coffee, more rain, street food, delicious street food, rain, indie music, microbreweries, rose garden, cycling, karaoke, and stripping. So I'm huddled next to the garishly red painted wall of Devil's Point, about to go into stripperoke. There's a pirate flag flying above the building.
Jolly Roger,
skull and crossbones. But I have to say, truth be told, the thing I'm most nervous about is I hope my underwear is correct for stripping. Or maybe I don't have to strip.
Oh, yeah. Give it up for Mary Berlin, everybody.
Yeah. Berlin. She's my favorite. She has a certain something.
These performers are certainly very vigorous and energetic, very athletic.
Stay tuned, we're going to get Molly back up.
So we've just seen a variety of dancers, differing techniques, quite a lot of inventive use of fishnets in unusual places. So we're talking fishnet hot pants, fishnet bras, which don't seem to offer a lot of support.
So
So one of the most committed performances that we've been enjoying here at Stripperoki tonight is a very committed 30-something gentleman singing a ballad from The Little Mermaid. Okay, we're now seeing magic. The whole audience has forgotten about the stripper, and they are completely with this man singing the Little Mermaid song. The dancer's emoting from the top of her pole with incredible core strength and thigh master precision. It's kind of a mass hysteria.
Well, that was a humdinger. Sentimental childhood favorites and naked ladies. But now I'm curious about the karaoke jockeys. What's their deal?
Fantastic. Hey, let's hear it for all the people that have Puppy.
Next stop is Chopsticks 2 to meet longtime KJ Danny Coble.
This whole place has kind of the vibe of a suburban rec room. It's like your parents' downstairs, you know, the basement that they converted into a playroom that now is turned into the place where kids go to have illicit parties and makeout sessions. And I think that's the source of the good feeling here. Everybody just thinks that it's playtime.
So Danny Coble, what is your involvement with Chopsticks 2?
Well, I've worked here for almost 10 years. I mean, I was a regular before I was a KJ for about 3 years. I was here about 4 or 5 nights a week. And then after a while, yeah, I'm like, I should be behind the board. Maybe I'm here 4 nights a week. I might as well be making money one of those nights.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're behind the board, do you get a chance to step in front of it and still do your favorite renditions?
Yes. The KJ sings the first song of the night and then be in the rotation until the rotation gets to be 10 or 12 songs, and then you have to step out. But then the KJ can either sing at midnight or we can sing the last song of the night. We get to pick. On a Friday or Saturday night here, it's packed. And sometimes it's a 2-hour wait to sing. Sometimes it's 2.5-hour wait to sing.
And what keeps people waiting for like 2.5 hours just to do their one?
It's an addiction. It's one of the only things in our culture that is this participatory. You know, people watch movies, they watch TV shows, they go see bands. But this is the one thing where you don't just get to go see a show, you get to be the show. There's a lot of frustrated rock singers, you know, there's a lot of drummers. There's a lot of people that are drummers or bass players in bands and they don't get to sing and they come here and they sing. Or there's people that sing in a band, but they really like show tunes or country. Everybody's got their guilty pleasure. There's been a lot of people whose singing careers began here. A lot of people that didn't know they could sing until they started doing karaoke on a regular basis. And then pretty soon they're fronting a band.
So it's a slippery slope to rock stardom is what you're saying.
Yes, or to rock obscurity.
Depending on the roll of the dice.
And karaoke's like, it's more art than science. It's a combination of selecting the right song at the right time for the right crowd, and then it's the performance. The KJ has a lot to do with it. With karaoke, the mix is different every single singer, every single song. You can't just set the levels and go with it. So the KJ has to really dial it in.
Here we go, the A word. Karaoke is more art than science. It's almost addictive. It's less an art house cult than a way of life. And it's a way to make fun new friends. I shared a ride to the next club with a woman who met her soulmate at karaoke.
AJ, do you work at Chopsticks?
I used to work at Chopsticks. That's how I met Steven, tonight's KJ.
And you two are married.
We are married. We will be married 5 years in August.
So that's kind of a romantic little tale that you met up at the karaoke bar.
It is. Yeah, I was the cocktail server and he was the KJ. And he was singing his midnight song. It was a Stevie Wonder song. And he hit this note that was like, a man shouldn't be able to hit that note so perfectly. And he just did it. And he sounded just like Stevie Wonder. And I thought, you know what? I'm taking that guy home tonight. I know. Oh no! The whole BBC is gonna think I'm so slutty.
Well, you're not. You could be sluttier, but you do have a wedding ring on your finger.
I do. Sluttier. Yes, because it ended well.
It ended.
But now, I've got to go away.
So singing karaoke brought a couple together. Well, on the next leg of my karaoke crawl here in Portland, USA for the BBC World Service, I met someone who uses karaoke to reach a whole new generation.
So Brendan Gill, what's your participation in the karaoke scene here in Portland?
I try to make it once a week. It's like my favorite thing. I'm a teacher.
And what do you teach?
I teach media arts, technology, iPads and apps and such.
Do they know that you harbor this secret lust for karaoke?
It's not secret. I have like a little club at school. It's like a karaoke club. Kids just show up and sing karaoke, and it's pretty great because the most joyful karaoke experience is where you can really just celebrate the things you love and kind of learn a little bit about yourself by singing a song. The kids are middle schoolers. They're 10, they're 11, they're 12, they're 13, going through that transitional phase where they're trying to figure out who they are. And the moment that I started teaching middle school, I thought, this is perfect. Like, karaoke has to be here. This is a chance for them to share the music they love. And they don't really have to care what other people think about it.
What do you think the connection is between the popularity of karaoke and Portland?
It kind of laughs at itself in a really good-natured way, and the good-naturedness continues.
All right, and I go to totally doing a baby cat karaoke exclusive track. She said, you can dance.
A major aspect of the Portland karaoke scene is that this city is filled to the brim with musicians. And journalist Dan Coyce has heard stories about most of them.
Well, there's a joke in Portland that the city itself is a sort of a rest home for aging indie rockers. It is a city that has always fostered a really vibrant music scene, a very vibrant indie rock scene in particular. And so that means that in all cities with huge populations of musicians, you have a captive population of natural performers with real musical skill who maybe are not getting all the gigs that they want to get. And a lot of those performers go out and sing karaoke.
It's true. Musicians are everywhere. Even the taxi driver cabbing me on to another hard night of karaoke.
So, Ash, turns out that you're a big karaoke aficionado.
I enjoy doing karaoke. My personal preference is karaoke from hell.
Yeah,
I like singing
yeah.
with a live band. There's yeah. so much more adrenaline.
And you're a musician.
Yeah, and I hang out with a group of musicians, and I do have a couple of friends that have their own karaoke scene in their basement.
You're kidding. So it's like a little club, like secret club in their basement.
It's like a secret karaoke speakeasy kind of environment where just a small handful of really talented singers go up one after another.
That's so crazy. And yet here you are, you're a secret speakeasy karaoke maestro, and you're our taxi driver, and you're a musician.
It's not that uncommon. I fall into a category of people.
Is that a category, a typical Portland category?
Musician, cabbie, who does a little karaoke for fun. I think there's a few of us.
Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly, musicians gotta play. And in Portland, Muso's Shanghai conventional karaoke by playing backing tracks live at a night called Karaoke from Hell. I've decided I'm going to sing my favorite Steely Dan song, Dirty Work. Okay, Karaoke from Hell is a whole nother thing going on. There's a live band. You feel like a rock star. I mean, and this band, it couldn't be more Portland. There's a lady with cat-eye glasses on guitar. There's this white guy with an afro with his bass guitar. There's this blonde chick on drums. And me on lead vocals, I just feel like a rock star. They're all chiming in on the backing vocals. And it's completely thrilling. And in fact, you forget to be scared because you're so caught up being a member of this supersonic supergroup. So, Don Pantea, I've just seen you up there rocking out demurely in a tulle petticoat. What's the whole idea behind Karaoke from Hell?
It's a long story, but the basic part of it is I just want people to be able to sing with the band.
I feel like a rock star up there.
Yeah.
And I've been sampling all the different karaoke nights in town, and there's different levels of certain amount of self-consciousness that you have, because, you know, you're just all on your own with a
yeah.
microphone.
And a machine.
And it's a little dehumanizing. Joining you guys on stage, you feel like you're all
part of a posse. I mean, I'm with the band.
You are. That is what it is. I mean, on the best nights, it's one giant band, the entire room. Everyone gets a turn to shine, and that's what makes it wonderful.
How long have you guys been going?
About 22 years.
22 years you've been doing Karaoke from Hell?
Yes.
And do you have diehard aficionados that come in here? And
we do. In fact, there's a number of them here tonight. You know, we have our regulars, our friends, our family, you know, the Karaoke from Hell family, and they follow us everywhere. And then we get new people all the time, and we get people from all over the world, and it's just really great.
Is there something about the city of Portland that means that this is the only place in the world where Karaoke from Hell can exist?
I have to say, we are probably the original live karaoke band, but there are karaoke bands all over the world now.
Have you ever had a disaster on stage?
Yeah.
Like, what happens? What's the worst kind of thing that could happen?
We had one guy who used to take his clothes off all the way.
No doubt about it. People in Portland like to fly their freak flag high, which I fully understand at my next station of the Karaoke Cross, Chopsticks 3. On an average night, you'd enjoy Chinese food while being serenaded by karaoke enthusiasts. But when I arrive, the place is packed with puppets and their human puppeteers.
Nancy Aldrich, I just saw you up there with your rabbit singing Go Ask Alice by Jefferson Airplane.
Actually, the song is White Rabbit.
Okay, I stand corrected.
It's okay.
It sounds like your rabbit knows more than I do about pop culture.
No.
This is blowing my mind, this whole idea of it's not really you, the human being, up there performing, it's the puppet.
Right.
What's the connection between puppets and karaoke?
Well, it's very freeing, and I think a lot of people tend to get nervous and to get up on stage and sing a song, but we want to get up there and sing that song, and we are puppeteers, and we have also been freed by the puppet to explore different characters within ourselves.
So use the puppet as an excuse for your own bad behavior.
Yeah, and you don't feel so naked. I'm not feeling the eyes on me. I hope the eyes are more on the puppet.
For sure, because it's not every day you go into some sort of crazy barn/Chinese restaurant and encounter a room full of people with their hands shoved up the underside of these stuffed animal-looking things.
Yes.
How many puppeteers are here tonight?
At least 20.
I'm wondering if you guys have ever shown up at Stripperoke.
No, we haven't.
Because that would be an interesting clash.
It would be fun to do, though.
And fun to watch.
People who are singing aren't allowed to touch the strippers.
No. Well, I wouldn't have thought that anyone's allowed to touch the strippers, even if they're not singing.
But would the puppets be able to?
Now that...
Could they interact?
That could be a whole new art form.
In my 4 nights so far in Portland, I have binged on every flavor of karaoke, just about every flavor, except for the night that everyone here says is the ultimate karaoke in Portland, and that is John Brophy's Baby Kitten Karaoke. On my quest for karaoke as art, if I'm going to find it anywhere, I'm going to find it here.
There's a real different feeling here at Baby Kitten to any of the other places I've been. Everyone knows each other. It seems like they've gathered together to be with each other and to share this time. And it's very cozy, and there's fairy lights everywhere, and it feels a little bit magical. Oh, here we are. This is where it's happening.
And Baby Kitten has all those songs that that other people don't have, and they tend to be like songs that people really, really love.
You don't have to be a great singer. I think that that's a really important quality of karaoke.
More about the performance than it is about the song.
You don't have to have a perfect voice. You have to be enthusiastic and you have to care.
I'm enthusiastic and I care. Which is just as well, because here's my cue.
Push past people. Hey, if Katie's trying to get by you, just let her by. Don't injure her.
There she goes.
She's doing a Baby Kitten Karaoke exclusive track. Here you go, Katie.
I had this idea that I was going to get up there and do this sort of croony lounge lizard version of this famous grunge classic, and what came out was a little bit of a surprise for me and everybody else.
Got me!
It In this delightfully unbuttoned city of Portland, I've experienced indie-oke, stripper-oke, puppet-oke, school-oke, all kinds of okey, pokey, hokey-cokey. But is karaoke really art? Well, it's artistic, sure enough, but in its spontaneity and endless variety of expression, I found karaoke in Portland to be something much less constructed and self-conscious and something much more human. Karaoke in Portland is part of a tradition that stretches all the way back to old-fashioned knees up down the pub, back to kumbaya campfires, and even back to ancient drum circles. It's a celebration of people. I am so exhilarated. I just did Debaser by Pixies, and it's not a pretty song to sing, but somehow being on stage and just belting out, screaming out these ridiculous lyrics, it was an incredible cathartic release. I didn't even anticipate it, and I felt like I was possessed. Karaoke is Art was presented by me, Katie Puckrick. It was produced by Melanie Harris and is a Spark Lab production for the BBC World Service. The